What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. And today we are on episode 40. We're talking about how to overpower evil spirits. We talked about casting out devils a while back in another series, but we're talking about it in more depth, in depth today. So that's what we're focusing on. I'm in a series called Church Detox, and what this is designed to do is to go over things you were taught that were incorrect or half-truths or just flat-out lies, you know. We're talking about casting out demons. We're talking about dealing with fallen angels. These are both evil spirits, and we have to deal with them. So first I want to talk about the difference between fallen angels and demons. Demons, as I mentioned before, and you don't have to agree with this origin story, but they are the spirits of Nephilim beings, which are the offspring of fallen angels and women. We see in Genesis chapter 6 that the angels came down, they had sex with women, they had children. Those children got drowned in the flood, and their spirits float around going into whoever they can get into to have a body. This is outlined in the book of Enoch, and it seems to connect with the scriptures because Jude talks about the book of Enoch as well. So I feel like it makes sense, the origin story. So that's what we're dealing with. These are spirits, unclean spirits that God didn't create. He didn't create these hybrids. He never authorized angels to have sex with women. And so these things are floating around right now, and they try to get into people based off of their sins. Whatever these demons were practicing when they had bodies, they are now trying to live out through your life. So if you are in, like, say, for instance, you tell a lot of lies, but just say you're not saved and you hear that, a spirit of lying can come in and allow you to get better at lying because that's what it did. All spirits pretty much lie. It could be a spirit of depression. A spirit can come in and dwell in your body and cause issues and stuff like that, torment and everything like that. So that's how they get in. They want to live in a body. That's the main difference between them and fallen angels. Fallen angels can materialize a body at any point. Now, the scriptures say that those who had sex with the women are locked up. But there are other fallen angels. They didn't do that. So they're still allowed to roam the earth and deceive. And we talk about Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 talks about, and the rest of that chapter talks about us wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and things of that nature. So that includes fallen angels. So there are fallen angels we have to deal with, and there are demons we have to deal with. So fallen angels are not trying to get inside your body necessarily. They may appear to you and try to deceive you. Demons are trying to get in, and you'll feel the difference once you feel like you can't overcome a particular sin. You feel like you're, even though you've confessed your sin and repented, you still have a strong, strong struggle with this particular sin. That's usually because you have a spirit that got in pushing you to do that, even though you don't want to do it. So just say, for instance, you gave up pornography, yet you have intense thoughts of going back to it. Even though you've confessed your sins, repented of it, you still got these strong thoughts to where it's waking you up and like, go look at some porn and this, that, and the other. That's a spirit you need to cast out. Now, we will always be tempted. But when it's beyond temptation, it feels like somebody is like right next to you in your ear telling you to do something. You just feel compelled. Your whole body wants to go do it. That's probably a spirit inside that got in through the sin. And it's like, well, I don't care if you confess your sins and repent it and you don't want to do this anymore. I want to do it. So I'm going to pressure you to do it. You know, I'm going to talk to your mind and say you want to do this and say you want to do that. So that's what's happening. So it can go in all many different areas. You can be anxiety, it can be depression, it could be the way you view life, many different areas. Anything that's negative, anything that's sinful, any mindset that's incorrect, a spirit could be behind that trying to keep you in that arena. Mental illness, anxiety attacks, homosexuality. All homosexuals have spirits in them. That's why they're homosexual. That's why they act in the way they act. They got a demon spirit in them. All right. And that spirit needs to be cast out. So they can't just simply go to the altar and just say, confess my sin of homosexuality. I don't want to do this anymore. They got to cast the spirit out as well. So let's get into this. We're going to talk about how to do self-deliverance, and then we're going to talk about how to help other people get free from spirits as well. Before I go into that, let me talk about what spirits are. They're like air. If you look up In the Strong's Concordance in the Greek, you'll see that spirit means air or pneuma, something like that. When you cast a spirit out, I'm talking about a demon spirit at this point because they're the only ones that really want to inhabit your body. You may feel a burp. You may feel a yawn. You may yawn, you may burp, you may fart, you may yell. You'll see many instances in the Bible where Jesus cast out a spirit and the person screamed or yelled out as it was coming out. Well, it was coming out, it's coming out as air, and it was passing their vocal cords. And so that's why they yell. And in some cases, the demon itself is upset that it has to leave, and it yells on its way out. So that's the reason for the yelling and all of that stuff. So let's get into it. We've all been given authority to cast out spirits. So let's get into scripture, and let me show you from scripture. This is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 19. It says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So I want to break that scripture down. Serpents and scorpions obviously referring to demons. Okay, Jesus wasn't telling people, hey, I'm giving you the power to, I mean, anybody can step on a scorpion and a serpent. So he obviously referring to these demons that are like serpents, that are like scorpions, that they sting and hurt you and cause pain to you. He says here that you've been given power over all the power of the enemy. And that's what I want to emphasize today. You have been given power over all the power of the enemy. You have been given power over the enemy himself, but his power. Some people say you can tell a devil to go to hell. You can tell a demon to go to hell. You can tell a fallen angel to go to hell and they'll go. You can send them somewhere. You can kill a demon. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you have power over their power. And their power is influence. Their power could be, you know, changing the environment or changing the reality slightly or something like that. But the bottom line is you have power over their power. If they want to lie to you and cause you to think some kind of way or influence you some kind of way, you have power to stop that. So that's what he's saying there. You have been given power over the power of the enemy. So whatever tactics he want to use in his arsenal, you have power over that. You can defeat him in the authority of Christ. This is in Mark, another verse, 16 verses 17. And it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." I'm going to just stop there. Casting out devils. So he's saying, if you are a believer, you have this ability to do this. So don't let nobody get you to believe that only pastors and prophets and apostles can cast out spirits. No, you can too. If you are a true believer in Christ, you have the ability to cast out spirits. All right, here's another one. John 14, verses 12. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So he's saying here, this is Jesus saying, that you're going to do the same thing I do. If I'm casting out devils, you're going to cast out devils. So there's no excuse for you to believe anything else, because scripture is clear. We've given you three witnesses, three scripture passages stating you have the power. You have been given the power. If you are a believer, you have the power to cast out spirits. Another thing throughout scripture, it doesn't say that, hey, demons don't exist anymore. They don't bother people anymore. There's nowhere in scripture that says that. Even in Revelation, it's talking about demons in operation and men dealing with demons. So for anybody to believe that demons don't exist, or they just existed back in Jesus's time, or that they only kind of manifest in third world countries where they believe that kind of stuff, but not in American, you know, mainstream civilizations. And it's not true. It's just not true. And anybody believing that, I would say don't deal with them, because they are under the deception of demons. Okay, let them get to the place where they understand that, especially if they call themselves a believer. I just want to say that. I also want to talk back a little bit about, don't be ashamed about if you are possessed by spirits or you got demon spirits. This happens because you are not mature in Christ. And so you end up thinking of believing a lie and then holding on to that lie. And then the spirits come in to perpetuate and create a stronghold. You know, some stuff came in when you were a child. Your parents didn't protect you. And so you grew up with this spirit in you, and all your life you had it on you. And so it's okay. God is going to deliver you if you want to be free. If you recognize the spirit for what it is, you'll be free. So this flies in the face of people saying that only unbelievers can be possessed by devils. When you become a child of God, you don't have no spirit problems. You don't have demon spirits in you. You don't have that issue. That ain't nowhere in scripture. Nowhere in scripture. So for anybody to say that, they're under deception. If you know you got a problem, you go to Jesus, you'll be freed from those spirits. They get in through sin. They get in through mindsets. They came when you were a child. And that's what's causing you to have different behaviors and things like that throughout your life. But you can be free. So don't believe that this stuff doesn't exist. It's not going to happen to you because you're a child of God and stuff like that. Another thing about the word possessed, you know, it doesn't mean that the demon can take everything, your whole being, and take over your whole life and control you. That's not what this means, okay? That means that they have a big enough, strong enough influence to lead you down different paths. But you don't have to go that way. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to go that way. There's a story with the Gadarene demoniac. This is a man who had at least 1,000 demons in him. He was strong enough, even in that state, to go towards Christ and to fall down and say, you know, he wanted to be free. And he knew Jesus could probably be the one to save him because he had heard about him. So you have power, even if, you know, you got that amount of spirits in you. You got power to be free. So let's get right into it. The first thing you need to do is when you're dealing with demons is you're not trying to have a long conversation with them. All right. You're not trying to have a long conversation with a fallen angel. You're not trying to have a long conversation with an evil spirit. We grew up looking at people on television, maybe now on YouTube now, where pastors and prophets and so-called apostles are casting out spirits and they're having this 10-minute conversation with the demon. And the demon's telling them how he got in and what he was doing, where he came from. And it's this big old spectacle. And people are like, man, the information here, we're learning things and this, that, and the other. And they get that from Jesus when he asked the Gadarene demoniac, what's your name? And the demon spoke out of the man and said, I am Legion. Because for we are many. So they think that we can get information from demons. Here's the problem with that. Demons are liars. They're not here for our best interests. You don't listen to them. You don't try to figure out their names. You don't try to call them out by their names. None of that. You're just trying to get rid of them. And so we see Jesus, you know, dealing with Satan directly. And one of the things he was, you know, Satan was, you know, throwing scriptures at him. Jesus was responding. But it was no long drawn out conversation. Okay. When you notice that you're dealing with a demon, the goal is to cast that thing out and to get it out of your way. That's what the goal is. It's not to have a conversation with it because they're going to tell you some lies along with the truth. You can't get into that arena. You're, you know, listening to spirits and gaining information and they lie. So that's just the first point. When you cast them out, they should come out with very little effort. Let's go to a few passages here and I'm going to show you what Jesus did. And this is in Luke chapter 11, verses 14. It says, and he, Jesus, was casting out a demon, and it was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Doesn't mention any kind of long conversation, did he? And he just went out. There was no struggle. There was no nine-hour discussion, long nine-hour, you know, struggle or, you know, 30-minute struggle with a spirit. It just came out. Matthew 8, 16. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Once again, it came out, it was done. Another verse, Mark 1, 34, it says, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And this is something you'll find in scripture. When Jesus cast out spirits, they kept saying, you're the Son of God. You're Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's like, shut up. Don't tell everybody that. They, you know, and the reason why you don't want demon spirits speaking for you is because if they're telling the truth on one hand, they'll be lying on another end. This is what happened with Paul. He was being followed around by a girl with a spirit of divination. She was basically a psychic and she was getting her foretellings from demons. Okay. And she kept saying, you know, these men are from the Most High God, you know, and that's the truth. Paul and them are from the Most High God. But I don't need your unclean spirit behind telling people that, because if they listening to her about Paul, then once she turn around and start lying about Paul, they'll believe him then. So you don't want these things speaking for you at any point. You don't want any of these things, even though they know the truth, even though they may speak the truth, you don't want them speaking for you.
Let's see here, some more verses here. Luke 4:35, it says, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing any harm." I believe that's the account when the man cried out in the synagogue. The demon was nutting up in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching, and he had to cast the spirit out. It just came out when he told him to come out. Here's another one, Matthew 8:32. It says, "And he said to them, Go. And they came out and went into the swine, and the whole herd rushed down to the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters." This is the account of the Gadarene demoniac, where the man was possessed with so many spirits. And here we see Jesus saying, "Go," and they went out. With no long process, with no 9-hour struggle, none of this stuff. It's just a word, and they're coming out. All right, so you get the point there. All right, it's not no long drawn out process. Now, if you have trouble casting out spirits, you say to the spirit, "Spirit, come out of that person in the name of Jesus," and nothing changes, nothing happens. You may have a humility problem, you may have a faith problem, and you may not be even born again. So there are two instances I want to show you. The first one is in Acts 19:13-16. This is the account of these 7 sons of Sceva. So let's read that account. All right, in Acts 19:13-16, it says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one, Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." They got beat up, end up naked and wounded. One man beat up 7 so-called exorcists. They didn't have any authority in Christ. Therefore, like the Spirit said, "I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? You're just some random cat using Jesus' name to cast out spirits. It don't work that way." So if you're not a child of God and you try to perform an exorcism, it's not going to work because you have not been given authority. Jesus said clearly, "All those who believe in me," if you are a believer in Christ, you have the authority. If you have been born again, you have the authority. If you don't, you don't have the authority. And so they got beat up. They were naked and, you know, and ran out of disgrace because of this. So the first reason you cannot cast a spirit out or you have difficulty is because you don't have authority. You're not a child of God. In the instance I heard about the 9-hour struggle with a person that had a spirit in them by these so-called pastors and or leaders in the church, I don't think the spirit ever left. I think the spirit got tired of playing with them for 9 hours and just decided to recess, I would say, if that's the best word. I think what they did was they brought it to the surface by calling it out and talking about its behavior until it came to the surface and manifested. And then after 9 hours, it decided just to go back to sleep, or that's not the best word because they're not sleeping, but it just decided just to stop manifesting itself. I don't believe these 7 sons of Sceva going around casting out spirits. I don't even believe that was really happening. They were thinking they were doing it. The second reason why you can be having trouble casting out spirits is because you are a child of God, but you lack faith and you lack humility. I have a book called Pride is the Problem, and the main sin of Satan was pride. And so if you're dealing with him and his fallen angels and the evil spirits that have come from him, and you're proud, you're going to have problems dealing with them because you're going to say, "Well, you're just as arrogant and proud as me." Even though you say you got authority, I would say that's sin in your life, and that sin is corrupting your power currently. You know, your authority is being weakened because you are acting like Satan. You still got pride at that in your current state. So I'm going to show you in scripture why I believe this. This is in Matthew 17:14-21. And when they had come to the multitude, they came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast out the spirit? And Jesus said unto them, Because you of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So he said, hey, y'all don't believe. Y'all don't believe. And so we see here that this particular demon and this boy had him falling into the fire and into the water. So the spirit was trying to kill the boy. That's what the spirit was trying to do. And I'm sure it manifested some weird behavior in front of these disciples to where they got scared. Or they just lost their faith because of so much of the theatrics this demon was performing in front of this, through this child. And so they said, man, we can't do nothing with this. And so the lesson here is that we cannot allow any theatrics or behavior from an evil spirit in a person to make us believe that we don't have any authority, that we just can't do anything about it. All right. We have to believe that Christ gave me authority, even though this spirit is climbing up on the ceiling and spewing blood and whatever else coming out of his mouth. His head turned around 3 times and his eyes is changing colors and all this stuff. But no, I'm going to believe Christ that he's bigger. I have the authority and I'm going to cast his spirit out. So that's probably might have what happened. They had their faith was low. And it was probably because of the manifestation of the behavior of the demon. And so we can't allow that to happen. Then Christ goes on to say, howbeit this kind of spirit does not go out but by prayer and fasting. Now, in scripture, it says that we humble ourselves through prayer and fasting. So he's alluding to the fact that they had a humility problem. They weren't humble in this case. And because of that, their pride was up. We have to be humble when we deal with these devils. Okay? We cannot be people who are proud, thinking that we're empowered in our own right. It's the authority of Christ that gives us the power over these devils, not us. And we can't just get used to just believing that, oh, I got it, you know, and I'm going to come cast the spirit out. No, we got to be humble all the time. Okay. Humility, we must continue to practice that. But he said, you know, this kind doesn't come out by prayer and fasting. So this another lesson is to say that certain spirits are stronger than others. And like I said, and they'll move based off of your authority. But you also have to be humble because they're going to say, man, you know what? I know what Jesus said and everything. I need to leave. But, you know, man, you got pride and sin in you, you know, so they can point something out in you and say you ain't humble. And it may not come out from there. And that's my view of scripture when it comes to that. Overall, you need to be humble in general. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I believe a lot of power comes through humility. He said in our weakness, we are strong. So when we declare our weakness, when we humble ourselves, we are strong. So we got to be humble when we deal with devils, especially in ourselves and in other people. And as I said many times before, if you are struggling with getting rid of a spirit in yourself, it's because you probably need to go on a fast. You know, humble yourself through prayer and fasting, and then it'll come out. I've seen results through fasting for myself, and I was able to cast out spirits without fasting in myself. As I'm speaking about, I'm saying this from experience. So those are the reasons why you would have trouble with spirits. Let me just review. You're not a child of God. You don't have any authority. The demon may play with you or whatever, but end of the day, it's not really going to come out. The other reason is because your faith is low. You may be, you know, timid. You may say, I don't know if this can happen. You got to really believe that God gave you authority, and then it'll come out. You know, everything is working off of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, you know. And then, of course, you have to be humble.
You know, I've talked about humility many times. Humility is what empowers us and strengthens us. So we have to approach demons in full faith and humility, and we have to have the authority in Christ Jesus, of course. All right. So let's talk about fallen angels. When dealing with fallen angels. So now let's say, you know what? I'm not dealing with a person with something in them. I don't have anything in me, but I was in my room and this angel appeared to me and it started talking to me. And then I began to realize this is of the devil. This is a fallen angel trying to get me to do something that I shouldn't do. It's trying to guide me somewhere. What do you do with that? Well, you tell it to leave. He said, get out of here. I don't believe you. That's how it goes. And I'm going to bring up this scripture here because this is what the archangel Michael said to Satan. And then he says, the Lord rebuke you. This is mentioned in this in the book of Jude, because the book of Jude is about people who think they can sin against God and practice sin, specifically believers, and still go to heaven, still be right with God. And he's saying it don't work that way. And he goes into their behavior. And one of their behaviors is not respecting the principalities, okay? Fallen angels and their position. And he gives this example here. He says even the archangel Michael did not rebuke directly Satan, which is a cherub angel, which is above him, I believe. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't get into this, I'm going to tell you what to do, this, that, and the other. You know, he only fights based off of being authorized by God. You see, we have to have respect. And he's saying in the scriptures here, in Jude chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, he talks about that. That they didn't respect the principalities. They would talk about the principalities like they weren't nothing. They would talk about them like they weren't nothing. So we have to show respect when we're in the presence of a fallen angel and say, okay, I'm not going to, even with demons, you can't just sit around and act like you ain't nothing. You below me. Demons have been around longer than you and they're smarter than you. Okay. They know magic. They know all kind of ways of manipulating matter and things of that nature. And you cannot play with them, act like you're better than them. You have to submit yourself to God and say, God, you know, direct me to what to say. And I'm gonna take up my authority and believe that I have authority and I'm going to cast this spirit out. So continuing on, let's talk about how to cast out spirits in yourself. I already said just to go and tell them to go. That's basically how it works. It's as simple as that. You don't need a deliverance ministry. Okay, you don't need to find somebody that who specializes in deliverance. None of those people should exist. All believers have the power to self-deliver. Jesus said himself, you have authority to cast out spirits. That means in yourself and in other people. So regarding yourself, all you got to do is tell the spirit to go. Okay? The Bible says to humble yourself, resist the devil, and he will flee. This is in James chapter 4, verses 7. Humble yourself, resist the devil, and he will flee. See, that humility is in there again. And I keep telling people, you got to be humble in order to deal with evil spirits. The only way to overcome them is, and to overpower them is through humility. Take up your authority, have faith, and you'll be fine. You realize that you have these inclinations, you have these desires that are not you, these perverted desires that keep coming back, you know, and you're saying, man, what is this? It's probably a spirit. So you just call out what that desire is. It might be a strong lust. It may be a spirit of homosexuality. It may be anxiety, where you're having panic attacks. You may feel low, which is depression, which is described in the King James Version as a spirit of heaviness. You feel heavy. You just want to go to sleep all the time. You're sad all the time. That is a spirit. And you got to say, you know what? I'm not going to feel this way. I'm not going to be anxious. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. I'm not going to be panicking and all this kind of stuff. It may be a strong fear. We just fear everything. You fear a hurricane coming. You fear black people. You fear the Muslims or the Arabs or somebody moving into your community. You just fear, fear, fear. That's not of God. Because we serve a God that's all powerful. And why are you scared of anything? But God has not given you a spirit of fear. That's what scripture says. So what's happening is that the enemy has lied to you some kind of way and you've believed it. And you've held on to that belief to the point that a spirit has come in. Okay? Now you got to get rid of that spirit. So you just call out, spirit of anxiety, get out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of depression, get out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of lust, Well, you keep thinking about just, you're already married, and you're constantly being filled with these thoughts of, you know, going after other women or going after other men, or homosexuality, or maybe excessive overeating, or you're always thinking about the next food you're going to have, and, you know, it just, or it may be a strong covetousness where you just want the latest item, and it just seems to be this heavy burden on you, always pushing you to do these things. Call that out. Spirit of covetousness, get out. And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying what the demon name is, I'm just saying what the demon is doing. Get out. Spirit of covetousness, spirit of anxiety, whatever it is, call it out. Get out in the name of Jesus. I don't want you here. I refuse to be covetous. I refuse to be proud. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to be full of lust. I refuse to be fearful. I refuse to be homosexual. I refuse to overeat and to be a glutton. I refuse to believe these lies that say that I'm supposed to accept this behavior and accept how I feel. No, I refuse to. Once you do that, you're saying, I agree with God, that his word is true. And you can declare his word. Find scriptures that point to what's being said. Like I mentioned, God is not giving you a spirit of fear. That's in scripture. Another one, be anxious for nothing. We talked about that in the last series. Read those scriptures out loud and say, devil, I'm not with you. I'm not going to tolerate your behavior and your influence on me anymore. And once you say that, you tell it to get out in the name of Jesus, and it's going to leave. It's going to leave. Now, if you still have struggles with thought process where, and I'm talking about temptation from the outside, you're always going to be tempted. But when it feels very strong, then maybe you need to go on a fast and say, you know what, I need to fast and humble my soul. And then it's going to come out. Because the Bible says that we must humble ourselves, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So the first step is humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves, submit to God, and say, God, I'm submitting to you. I'm submitting to your righteousness. I'm humbling myself. I'm weak. I cannot overcome this without your authority. I cannot overcome this spirit without your authority. I'm submitting to you. And you go on a fast, lose, you can skip a few meals. And from there, you'll feel weakness in your body. And you'll feel that spirit saying, man, I'm not empowered to even do what I want to do anymore. And then now you're continuing to say, no, I'm not going to do what you say. And that's the end. It's got to go. All right. I know this works because I've done it. I've tried it on myself many times. I know this works because I've cast out spirits in my family members. So I know how this works. You don't need a deliverance meeting. You don't need to go to anybody. Just follow the instruction I just gave you. Follow the scriptures I gave you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit to God. Humble yourself. Resist the devil. He will flee. That's what scripture says. That's going to happen. The word of God is true. Follow it. You will be free. It doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes people have emotional problems where their emotions just, they're always angry. That might be a spirit. Spirit of anger, get out in the name of Jesus. You'll find that you got peace in your soul. So that's the way you can deal with it. The next thing we need to do is put on the full armor of God. We always have to remember that. That's what keeps the spirits out in the first place. But we forget. The Bible says to put on the full armor of God. We have to continue to put it on a daily basis. Okay, and we talked about that. I'm going to link to that in the sermon notes so that you can check out how to put on the armor of God. The war is basically in your mind, and it's between the truth and lies. See, demons get in primarily through lies. Okay, television is always lying to you. People you know is always lying to you. Your circumstances can lie to you. And once you accept that lie, spirit can come in and set up shop and begin to influence you further. See, it's not about, oh, you just committing some sin. You're just a bad, wicked, stink person. No. You're living in a world of deception, and you need to continue to feed on the truth of God's word. That's what keeps you strong. That's what keeps me. We see that Jesus fought Satan with the word of God. So dealing with any kind of evil spirit, you can use the word of God. That's what using the sword of the spirit is. The sword of the spirit is the word of God, and Jesus used the word of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. He says, then was Jesus led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
God does this sometimes. He doesn't tempt man, but he will lead you to be tempted, to test you, and, you know, and to see if you're ready to go into next levels and stuff like that. So he does allow this to happen. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Jesus was hungry after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So basically Satan wanted him to do something for him. Do what I tell you to do. And Jesus is like, "Nah, man must not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of God's mouth." So it's not about satisfying what I need right now. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fast until God says I'm finished the fast. I'm not going to break my fast just because you say so. You know, and I'm not going to use my power for selfish reasons, because Jesus had that power. He could have turned it into bread. He turned 2 fish and 5 loaves into bread, into an abundance for people via miracle. So he could definitely do the same thing. He wasn't going to abuse his power and use it for selfish reasons. And he responded with scripture. So Satan picked up on that. Oh, you know scripture now. So Satan continues on and says, "Then the devil taking him up to a holy city and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So basically, Satan talking about, "Hey, won't you jump off this cliff here, and the angels will catch you." Jesus is like, "No, don't tempt God." Yes, the Bible says that God will save you in certain instances, but you don't just go around doing random stupid stuff. So we're learning a lot even in the discourse between him and the devil. But you see here that he responded with scripture, but Satan knows scripture as well. So you got to be aware of that. Satan will lie to you with scripture. "Hey, the scriptures say this, so you should do this." You have to know, like, wait a minute. Let me see if that scripture is elsewhere and if there's anything else to say about that particular situation. Because out of context, Satan can have you going in the wrong direction. So you got to know the scripture in context. You got to know the rest of the Bible. And so he says, the Bible also says, or it is also written, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then again in verse 8, it says, "The devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve." You see? So he responded with the word of God, and each time the devil got cut. And that's how you got to deal with the devil. They come at you with some lie, respond with the word of God. That means we have to study the word of God. The best way to deal with the devil, demons in particular, and any kind of thing you're having a problem with, is to write down your thoughts. Now let's look at this thought here. Now that we've written it down and seen it for what it is there truth to this? What does the Bible say about this thought here, or this message that I'm hearing in my mind? Then you can say, okay, I'm going to find a scripture that go with that. And then you can declare that scripture against the enemy, and you'll see results. You'll see the enemy back up. That's what putting on the helmet of salvation is all about. There's a whole article about that. I talked about that also in How to Put on the Whole Armor of God sermon. And so if you want to check those out, they'll give you understanding on how to deal with that. But basically, it's thinking about what you think about. When you have thoughts that come into your mind, think about those thoughts. Because every thought that you have ain't from you. It's from the enemy sometimes. He'll speak and talk like you're talking, as if you are thinking, but it's him saying that. And when I say him, I'm not saying that Satan is going into everybody and bother them. I'm saying that demons from Satan. And so when I say you're full of the devil, or a person has the devil in them, I'm not saying Satan directly. I'm saying the devil, the demons that were sent out to bother you. So that's how you deal with it. You fight with the word of God. And so once again, I just came across a sad story of a pastor committing suicide. He was having panic attacks, they say, and then eventually he killed himself, tried to kill himself in the church. He died the next day
in the hospital, and he was having panic attacks and all this kind of stuff was going on with him. Overall, when I hear stories like this, it's sad because it says that the enemy got in and caused him to commit suicide. Thoughts of suicide, reject those in the name of Jesus. You have no business killing yourself because you're not your own to begin with. Your body belongs to God. You have no right to take your own life. That's self-murder, basically. You cannot do that. So we have to know the truth. It's not up to us. If we are in hardships and in frustrating situations, we just have to give it to God and say, God, I cast my cares onto you because you care. The Bible says that he cares. He understands when we're going through things. We can let go and say, you know what, God, you can take care of that. Now, it was said that this pastor had went on a sabbatical already. He came back off the sabbatical and was still having these troubles. The best thing he could have did was step down. But like I said, when you have poor counsel, when you don't have a lot of scripture embedded into you, you don't have a surrounding group of people who understand what's going on, things like this happen. So it's sad to hear that. I pray that they learn from this. And I've had thoughts of suicide. I never struggled with suicide, but I had thoughts. You know, sometimes you hear a thought that says, why don't you just jump out a window and end it all? You know, life just ain't going the way you want to. I'm like, no. You know, so there's a difference between having a temptation or a thought and then having a struggle. When you have a struggle, you find yourself with the pills in front of you and you're about to take them, or you got the razor blade and you're about to slit your wrist. Or you're standing at that cliff off, you keep walking too close to the cliff. Or you thinking about walking in front of a truck, or that's struggling because now you're in a place where they can 50-50 chance they can kill you. They can lead you to kill yourself. So when you're at a place where you've already got the pills, you've already got the razor blade, you find yourself always tripping and falling in places that could end up in your death. You have to be concerned and talk to somebody and say, look, you know what, I'm dealing with spirits of suicide. At that point, we can pray for you and then get delivered from that spirit, and you'll find yourself, you won't have to be dealing with that. So I just want to bring it up because that's a story that I've heard. Spirits of discouragement. You can't make this. You're never going to win this, that, and the other. I dealt with that a lot in my past, and it caused me a lot of problems. You got to bring the word up against that and say, what does the word say? Fearfulness. We talked about that. Frustration. God is not giving you a spirit of fear. When you're frustrated, just say, you know, God is in control. I'm not in control of this. So let me just rest and stop trying to make, you know, let me just stop trying to control this. Let me stop putting energy into trying to make this work my way. Let me just pause and take my hands off of this because I don't have control. God is in control. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. So don't allow yourself to be running into panic attacks, walking around fearful, or having these bubbly gut in your feeling where you don't have no peace because of what the circumstances look like. Don't allow that to happen to you. Say, God, you're in control. I will be anxious for nothing. I put this in your hands. I'm going to rest and be peaceful. You know, currently there's a hurricane coming towards North Carolina, and a lot of people are fearful. And I'm saying, I'm not going to be that way. And me and my wife, we're not. We're just chilling. And we're in a situation where we can't necessarily just get up and leave. So our full faith is in God, you know, but we're not going to be troubled in our spirit about that. That's how you got to be. So once you cast it out, you're going to feel a sense of peace. Your thoughts will go away. Like I mentioned, you will burp. You might burp. You might fart. You might yarn. You might yell out a little bit. That's because the spirit is coming through your vocal cords and making that noise. The spirit is like air. If you've ever heard from people who had spiritual eyes, they could see things in the air, and that's where spirits are at. They're always floating around. They're always trying to get in, but they only can get in if you practice in a particular sin. So if you could see what's in the air right now, you would know the spirit's all around you trying to get in. But they can if you walk in righteousness. So when they come out, they're like air. So you might fart, you might burp, you might yawn, you might yell out or something like that. So that's how it'll look when you're free. And like I said, you can be tempted. The temptation is not the same as having a struggle where the spirit has gotten in, because temptation is just a thought. Why don't you do this? Nope, I ain't doing that. But when the spirit's in there, it's a strong, very strong struggle where you end up doing it and you stop, you repent, you say no, and you shouldn't go back to it again. You end up going back to it again. You get out of it. And that's what happened with some people who are fornicating a lot. They got a spirit of fornication or a spirit of just lust that they haven't cast out. They don't want to sin anymore. You can say, I repent. Lord, forgive me. God will forgive you, but you got to cast the spirit out. It got in, you got to cast it out. It's nothing to be afraid of. And before I finish, I want to talk about why people are afraid of spirits. Because of Hollywood. Hollywood is ran by people who are filled with devils. And so Hollywood gets us to believe that either spirits are can do anything, and you'll see movies where they're just crazy. I mean, they're doing all kind of stuff. Or that spirits are our friends. They are our dead ancestors, and they can help guide us in life. Or that they don't exist at all. They just only exist in the movies. So some movies are so terrifying is that they, when they leave the theater, the person is saying, you know what? That's just a movie because that can't exist in real life because I don't want to believe that anything like that would happen in real life. So they'll compartmentalize demons to just movies. They don't exist outside of that. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. And that's why a lot of people are on their antidepressants. They're saying they have a mental issue. They need to take some medicine for depression. No, you don't. You need to cast the spirit out. Quit making everything a clinical, you know, hormonal imbalance or something like that. Everything is not that. Okay, it's not just your mental issues and something's broken your mind. No, it's not. It's not a disease. It's spirits doing that. So we got to be 50-50 because everything ain't the devil and everything ain't just a mental issue. Okay, people with multiple personality disorder, that's totally demons. That's totally demons. That is not somebody with a mental issue. Those are multiple demons manifesting themselves at different times. Okay, we have to accept this for what it is. Okay, but people reject all this because they say, you know what? I'm scared of demons because I've been to too many Hollywood movies where they were just acting crazy and I don't want to believe that really exists. So I'm going to go to the doctor and get some pills for this. And what the pills do is just suppress your brain functions to where the demon can't manifest through your brain to make your body operate. So yeah, you're drugged up and nothing's happening, but you're drugged up and you feel gloomy all the time and you're just kind of walking around in a daze. The demon can't manifest because you have prevented your brain from being in full function. So that's what's happening. So yeah, the pills are working, but you're not fully functional. What you need to do is cast the demon out. And if you are a believer with the authority, you can do that. So finally, once you cast the spirit out of yourself, you need to fill your body with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read that scripture, but I want to talk about casting spirits out of people. Everybody don't need their spirits cast out of them. You cannot go around saying, I'm going to cast that spirit of Jezebel out of that person. You can't do that to everybody. And the reason why is because people make covenants with spirits. People, whether they know it or not, if they're accustomed to getting over on people and lying to people and having the power to manipulate people and control people, they don't want to give that power up easily. Unless they get to a place where they recognize that is sin and they've accepted that that is wrong, then they can be free from the spirit of Jezebel. But until they do that, they are not eligible for deliverance. So don't try to cast out a spirit out of anybody. Nothing's going to happen if they have not repented of their sins. Casting out spirits only work with people who have said, I no longer want to practice this sin. I no longer want to operate in this behavior. I no longer want to think this way. Once they have made a declaration and accepted God's truth, and in most cases, they've been born again, then they can be free. They're eligible for deliverance. Anybody else? No. Now, the other exception to that is children. Whether they're saved or not, they are innocent. They are under the protection of their parents. And like Paul did with this young girl, if the parent is a child of God, I believe that the parent can cast the spirit out of that child, whether that child has accepted Jesus or not. Okay? That child has to be taught growing up later on in life that they need to walk in righteousness and they need to be born again. So you lead them through understanding who Jesus is and what he did for them and they can be saved. But there are things that happen to children that parents are not aware of. They weren't around and somebody did something to them to where a spirit got in. In one particular case, a man, all he liked to do was watch scary movies at home. He claimed to be a Christian. I don't believe he was. Now, his child would end up with all these terrors, nighttime terrors. She would always be screaming about something's in the bed, something's under the bed, something's in the closet. And it wasn't just the basic fearful child, which passes. It was a very, very strong thing. It was always happening.
And the reason why is because he let those demons in his house through watching all those movies, and it affected his child to where she was plagued with demon spirits of fear. And I noticed that the father was also fearful as well. So he hadn't even overcome his stuff. And so whether you know it or not, some things could be happening to your child that you, when you're not aware of. A family member might be around them. They tried to touch them, or they did touch them. They're at school. Somebody had brought something to the school, a Ouija board or something. The child was open to it. They got a spirit in them from that. You got to, you know, realize what's happening. Talk to the child, deal with what's happening, and then cast that spirit out. It'll work because you have control over that child, being that you are the parent. Okay. But for older people who are not saved and you see spirits in them, just let them be. Okay. Unless they're crying out to be saved by Jesus Christ, and leave them alone. Okay. Because nothing's going to happen. They have to be people who are ready to repent of all their sins and be free. Some people, watch this now, and I've had this happen to me, where they come to me and they're upset because they're drunkards. And they don't like how drinking and drunkenness has caused problems in their life. And they want sympathy and pity, and they want prayer. But they don't want to give up drinking. They don't want to give their whole life to Christ. They just don't like the consequences of their sin. That kind of person is not eligible for deliverance. Let them be until they want to fully come to God. God ain't about just taking away consequences from people's sins. He ain't with that. He wants you to give your whole life to him. Okay, so people want to be free from a certain particular sin that's, you know, bothering them. They got to be at a place where they want to be free from sin altogether. They have to have acknowledged and agreed that they are wrong and God is right, and want to obey God and follow him. That's what it's about. Then they can be free and delivered. Okay? So once people are delivered, whether the person that you're praying for or yourself is delivered, you need to fill that space with the Holy Spirit. And that is found in Luke chapter 11. This is Jesus saying, if you don't feel it, spirits can come back and make it worse. So he says, you need to humble that part of your life to God. You know, always be weak in that area and say, God, I'm weak in this area. I need you. And always take up the Holy Spirit in that area, because you're going to need him, because you don't want spirits to come back. OK, it's not to say that if they come back and it's more, that you can't be free either. There's enough grace out there to get you free from anything until grace is up. But until then, there's grace. All right. So I don't want you to think that, oh, if you miss this and get filled with devils again for the same sin, that, you know, you can't be free. You can be free. But you don't want to keep just making this like, oh, okay, well, once I get messed up, I can just go to God and be free. You know, there's going to become if you get worse, you may not be in a state of mind and want to be free. So don't think that you can just go back to God once your life gets all messed up, because you might just end up at a place where you don't want God, because that's what the enemy can do. Lead you to a place where you don't even want God. So you won't come to deliverance. You won't want to be free, and nobody can cast them out because you don't want to give up the sin. And I also want to mention, this works for drugs too. So if you got a smoking problem, if you got a crack cocaine addiction, a weed addiction, things like that, those can work. Casting out the spirit, it can work. I'm not saying you don't have to go to AA or anything like that. You should probably use those programs as well. Anything that can get you off these particular chemical addictions. But start with the fact that a spirit could be keeping you in that particular mindset where you got to go back to these drugs and stuff, okay? So let me deal with this last scripture here. This is in Luke chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell up there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So Jesus is telling you how it works out. If you don't fill your house with the Holy Spirit, then spirits can come back and make it worse. So anything you get away from, you come out of, used to be a fornicating nymphomaniac or whatever you call that, you got to submit that to God once you get free from them spirits and stop that behavior. Because you could end up getting married later on down in life. Those spirits can come back because you have not protected that area of your soul, and you begin to walk in pride, believing that, oh, I'm good. They'll come back. Now you end up cheating on your wife or your husband, going back to your old ways. You don't want that. So I think that's all I got for you today. It's a lot of information. I'll have it written up in the show notes, in the sermon notes, rather. Ultimately, just believe that the power of God is in you because you are born again. He has given you authority to cast out these spirits. Okay, he has given you authority. So to believe that and hold on to that. Try to wear the armor of God every day. He says, put on the armor of God. Remember to put on the armor. Know that you're in a spiritual war. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Fallen angels and demons are always at war with us. They try to manipulate our emotions. They will say, hey, you're angry. And all of a sudden, you're angry. You got to reject that and say, "What? Where is this coming from?" Sometimes I've woken up with just anxiety for no reason. I said, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I don't accept this. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And it goes away immediately. And the enemy was trying to put something on me. You know what I'm saying? So they speak to emotions and try to say you're this and you're that. That's why I say we got to get in control of our emotions. We got to think about what we think about. Emotions are nothing but thoughts. They are thoughts that are feelings. You don't have to allow yourself to feel a certain kind of way. Some people believe once I feel this way, I just got to ride it through. No, you don't. If you get angry, you can cut off anger and say, I'm not going to be angry about this. If it leads into sin, if there is anxiety, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. I refuse to be anxious. Okay? Now, anger is not always sinful. You know, you're angry with sin, you're angry with injustice. I'm angry with racism, angry with bigotry and prejudice and things of that nature. But it cannot lead to sin. If a spirit comes in through your anger about those things, you end up sinning. Now you got a problem. So you don't allow that to take you down that path. But my point is, don't allow emotions to take you anywhere. Be in control of your emotions. When you feel a certain way, say, you know what? Where is this going? Is this right? It's okay to feel emotions. You don't cut off your emotions. We're not Vulcans from Star Trek. We are emotional people. That's part of our makeup. God is emotional, but we don't allow those emotions to take it over us. And when we do, the enemy sees that and goes in and fortifies his position and creates a stronghold and then manipulates those emotions and lead us to do things we're not supposed to be doing. But overall, know the truth, speak to those lies and cast that spirit out and you'll be free. Dealing with fallen angels, you know, say the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Turn your back and leave. I don't want to deal with this fallen angel. And be done with him. Okay? So, till next time, walk in the spirit. If you're not born again, get born again. Listen to the gospel message. Accept it. Confess your sins and repent. And Jesus will change you into a new creature and free you from all your sins. And wash you clean from all your sins, rather. And from there, you can follow him and he'll begin to clean you up and change your soul and things of that nature. That's it. That's all I got for you. Be blessed. We'll be right back.